You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. We hope that your morning is going well so far. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. A lot of texts coming in right when we went to the news. So we're glad. We're going to check those out. If you want to text, if you want to call, we'd love to hear your voice. We read your words, but we never hear you. 855-752-4842. That, of course, is 855-75-CIVIC. Where should we start, Jamie? We've got Lynn from Golden Valley. We've got Todd or Billy. Either one. Both of them are welcome. He's listening in Madison, or they're listening in Madison. There's a couple of them. And then Jim is in Campbellsport.
Yeah, let's start. We'll just start right here at the top with Lynn. We were talking about John Sauer representing this administration in court, which I was a little surprised about just because he lost the tariffs case. Lynn chimes in and says, for lawyers, beggars can't be choosers. I don't think many competent lawyers want to risk even hearing the term DOJ, knock on wood, and go the opposite way. And maybe that's true. Maybe the pool's getting small.
Well, and if I don't know the Solicitor General, Mr. Sauer. I don't know his qualifications. But, you know, if he's part of the Trump administration, unfortunately, you get painted with the same brush of every other appointee. So maybe he's not the greatest. Todd or Billy? I'm going to go with Billy.
Yeah. You like that one?
It sounds fun. Yeah. Wow, I appreciate justice. I appreciate Justice Roberts pushing back on the Trump administration for trying to take a very small example in terms of birthright citizenship and expand it to cover a much broader category. Isn't that the exact same thing that conservatives always do as it relates to the Second Amendment, as it relates to reproductive freedom, etc.? That's always what they do. Yeah. Just because it didn't work or isn't going to work in this case doesn't reassure me a whole lot.
And I think that's going to be the problem with this case. There is so much skepticism around this court doing the right thing. We shouldn't be shocked when a Supreme Court does the right thing. But yet here we are in 2026. And when they do the right thing or they ask the right questions, we're like, can we trust them? That's not how the courts are supposed to work, but that's the sort of politicization that's happened around this Supreme Court. We've also have Jim from Campbellsport chiming in this morning. He says, I know this can never happen, but we sue Trump for financial negligence. There is cause and effect here. We will have to pay for the
reparations.
Thank you. My tongue and brain were not working in conjunction this morning. After that this is completed, it will come out of our pockets. I do suggest that we have a chance, freeze all Trump assets to pay things off. You know, I'm going to assume that there are probably some legal minds out there that have probably.
Oh, listen.
You never know.
J.B. Pritzker is already working on Project 2028. So there's going to be, hopefully, fingers crossed, there will be consequences for all of this. We'll see. All right, let's turn our attention to the Middle East. We are in month two of this war. Let's find out what's happening over there. Well, President Trump said, quote, Iran's new regime president had just asked the U.S. for a ceasefire in a post on Truth Social. Iran has new supreme leader, but not a new president. Trump wrote, we will consider the Hormuz Strait. He's the only one who doesn't call it by the right name. Is open, free, and clear. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, though, said the Strait of Hormuz remains firmly under its control and dismissed Trump's performative actions, while the foreign ministry said Trump's statements about Tehran's request for a ceasefire are false and baseless.
By the way, he also calls it the Gulf of America. It's the Gulf of Mexico. But again.
I forgot about that. Oh,
there's so many things to forget
about,
Parker.
There's so many things to forget. Other headlines from Iran.
Don't worry. It's
going
to go back to you won't have to remember that one.
No, it's fine. No. In his address last night, U.S. President Donald Trump said U.S. forces will keep hitting Iran very hard in the next 2 or 3 weeks and bring the country, quote, back to the Stone Ages. Even as he touted the successes of U.S. operations and argued that all of Washington's objectives have so far been met or exceeded.
All right, so what, now we're just doing it for fun? Just, hey, we met and exceeded our expectations, but we're just going to keep bombing them just so they know we have bombs. Big, beautiful bombs. Spokesman for Iran's president on Thursday dismissed Trump's speech as insane, insisting the remarks boosted our nation's integrity.
And finally, the death toll from the war has risen to more than 1,900 people in Iran and over 1,200 people in Lebanon. 13 U.S. military members and 10 Israeli soldiers have been killed. 19 civilians have been killed in Israel, as well as a number of civilians and soldiers on land and sea in the Gulf region. Millions of people in Iran and Lebanon have also been displaced.
Please tell me there is news from somewhere else, preferably here in Wisconsin, and that we don't have to hear the word Trump in a couple stories. Parker, is there any other stuff we need to know?
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Oh, all right, there is that.
turns
out.
Say,
hey, this is a Wisconsin story. And once again, it involves our Attorney General Josh Call. He loves to get in lawsuits against the administration at different agencies, and he has joined another one. Josh Call is suing the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency over its weakening of a rule that sets limits on toxic air pollutants released by power plants. That sounds good. Wisconsin joins 16 other states, as well as Washington, D.C., and cities like Chicago and New York and Harris County, Texas. Ooh, when Texas is suing the government, you know there's trouble afoot. It's challenging the rollback of these standards. The mercury and air toxics standards were created in 2012 to restrict pollution from coal and oil-fired power plants, namely mercury, which is, as you know, a neurotoxin. Maybe you didn't know that. I just said we all should know that, but I didn't know it either. That can cause brain and nervous system damage. Ugh. In the U.S., coal-burning power plants are the biggest man-made contributors to mercury emissions, according to the EPA. Now, say what you want about Joe Biden, but he did strengthen those standards in 2024. However, in February, when a new president came in, who shall remain nameless at least for one story, EPA officials announced during a visit to a Kentucky coal plant that the agency would return to looser standards. The administrator of the EPA is Lee Zeldin. He said at the time that the Biden administration's, quote, anti-coal regulations sought to regulate out of existence this vital sector of our energy economy, end quote. Clean Wisconsin has also joined a coalition of public health and environmental advocacy groups in a similar lawsuit. The organization pointed to mercury contamination from fish as a particular concern here in Wisconsin. Clean air, clean water, who needs it?
I'm going to ask it again. Do these people not breathe the same air we do? Do they walk around in a bubble? No. Because they obviously don't care. But
they have rarefied air.
Apparently so. But it always comes back to the same thing, right? Protect the corporations, protect the donors. The rest of us, well, we'll just deal with the consequences. But here's what I don't understand about this. There's this constant push by this president to save coal, going back to his first administration, first presidential run.
Oh, he loves the coal miners.
Right?
I love them, Jamie. They're dirty.
Coal
they
plants,
work
though,
underground.
Coal plants have been shutting down, though, for years, not because of regulation, but because they're expensive and they're also outdated compared to cheaper energy sources. And in fact, the U.S. has lost a larger proportion of its remaining coal fleet for each year of Trump's presidencies than any of the other his recent predecessors. He's not
coal,
saving
Jamie.
The coal.
It doesn't kill the birds. Wind kills the birds.
Kills
coal doesn't. Unless you pick up a piece of coal and whip it at a bird's head, you'd have to be a very good aim. Sandy Koufax had good aim. You know, he was Jewish. He played baseball. That was unheard of at the time. Took off some holidays. Didn't like it. I prefer a pitcher who always pitches.
Was that the weave happening this morning?
Of course.
Okay. All right. In other headlines this morning, turns out that we're getting closer to ending the DHS shutdown. Okay. House Speaker Mike.
Supposed to end Friday.
Yeah. Well, here we are. At least TSA agents got paid. That's the good news. But House Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Majority Leader John Thune announced a plan yesterday to fully fund the Department of Homeland Security, moving past a split between the two Republican leaders that resulted in Congress leaving Washington last week without a fix to a record-setting partial government shutdown. Now, they said in a joint statement that, quote, in the coming days, you're on recess, so I don't know what that means, but Republicans in Congress will return to a Senate plan to fund most of the department through an agreement with Democratic senators, with the exception of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and U.S. Border Patrol. Now, Republicans would then try later to fund those agencies through party-line spending legislation. Neither of these outcomes is guaranteed. The strategy could actually face opposition from the GOP's own ranks, even though the president has given his support. The plan represents this do-over of what senators had in mind when they passed a bipartisan funding agreement through unanimous consent last Friday, so almost a week ago. The Senate could approve similar legislation as soon as this morning through unanimous consent. But even if that happens, it's really unclear at this point how quickly this bill would move through the House. It's not going to, because Mike Johnson's going to stonewall it. And they're on recess. They're on recess.
And they're all jetting off to different places. And, you know, I understand taking a break, getting a vacation, sometime in your job. But then there's times where it's like, oh, I still have to answer my emails because there's something pressing. And I don't know if they can, I don't know how they could remote vote on this, the House, but it's not going to happen. It's always, you know, and none of this would have happened had it not been for Mike Johnson.
Right.
Because say what you will about the Senate. They at least came up with some semblance of a plan to get people paid, and then they moved on. Now, this final story, I hoped we wouldn't have to say the name, but I say it only because the result of what is being said makes me a little happy. President Trump has raised potentially removing Pam Bondi, but the Dow is up, as Attorney General in recent discussions he's been having with senior administration officials. Now, those sources familiar with this told this to ABC News. This comes amid months of mounting frustration that the Justice Department isn't doing enough to target his political opponents for persecution or prosecution. I'd say both. Not immediately clear whether Trump will move forward with forcing Bondi out of her role, according to those sources, though the discussions have advanced as far as considering her replacements. Will it be EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, who was mentioned before, who will cut back on regulations about law then,
too? Oh, is this a bet? Do we get to start placing bets?
Well, the other candidate is the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche. So I would like somebody to figure out the odds. Your sons are good at setting odds.
We need odds on this.
A Zeldin or Blanche, and then we can make our votes. Bondi's removal would likely create alarm. Really? Among critics who have accused the Trump administration of weaponizing the Justice Department. Sure, because if he doesn't think Pam Bondi is doing enough to weaponize the Justice Department, oh my goodness, can you imagine who's going to come in next? So according to reports that he was considering firing Bondi, Trump said in a statement yesterday, quote, Attorney General Pam Bondi, wonderful person. She's doing a good job. That means she's out. In recent months, Trump has repeatedly vented frustration. He's criticized Bondi's handling of the DOJ files from the investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. He has been upset about the pace and the effectiveness of targeting his foes through the Justice Department, and her little performance in front of the House Judiciary Committee last month, or in February now, where she was screaming at everybody, remember?
Yeah.
And sidestepped questions, wouldn't answer anything. Remember that? Yeah, that concerned the White House, too.
Yeah, they shelved her after that. We haven't hardly seen her since that moment, unless she's been called on for something specific, which has not been rare. There's been no press conferences. There's been absolutely nothing. This isn't actually surprising. What bothers me most about this is it's going to be another lackey that they bring in who is within the president's inner circle, and there's so much turnover in every single one of his administrations. First go around and this one too. It's whiplash. 7:19 right now. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go. I was just responding to Tom. Yes, we've mentioned the ice storms. Be very careful. It's going to get up to the 60s today, so that ice will melt.
Yes, yes. 7:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 7:22 right now, and it is time for Swipe or Stay. This is where we lose the politics for 7 whole minutes, and we talk about something that has nothing to do with the President of the United States. We are joined by our senior producer,
allegedly.
Frank. Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly.
Well, let's get to it.
Try not to.
Let's play.
You know, it's
what
hard to.
What are we doing?
You know, as the former star of The Celebrity Apprentice, it's hard to keep him out of pop culture as well.
This is true. He was also a movie star, remember? He had that one line in Home Alone, too.
This is very
yes,
true.
Yes, which they're asking to have taken out. Anyway, Frank, what do you got for us?
Here's what we got. We've got Swiper Sam. I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Jamie and Brian are going to have to decide whether they want to stay and hear more or swipe on to the next story. So here we go. We're going to go with story number one. Rockstar assaulted by a stalker.
Ooh.
I only saw the headline. I want to hear more details. I'm staying.
Stay, yeah.
I think we just talked about this band, too. So former Fleetwood Mac guitarist Lindsey Buckingham was assaulted by a known stalker when showing up for an appointment in Santa Monica. According to authorities, the stalker threw an unknown substance at Buckingham. There is no more information at this time outside the fact that Buckingham is safe and the whole thing is under investigation. Now, my first thought...
It was Stevie Nicks. Was that your first thought? Because that's the first thing that went through my head.
Could you imagine? No, if it was Stevie Nicks, everybody would have applauded.
Well, they would have seen her twirling down the street. It would have been a giveaway.
This is true.
It's so
Who's
true.
Who's the witch that just came up and threw something on Lindsey Buckingham?
But we just went through like a week or two of chastising Chapel Roan and her awful behavior towards people, even a little girl just walking past. And then here's the other side of that argument. Is you never know what crazy person you're going to run into.
Right.
Now, with Chapel's thing, yeah, it was a little girl. She probably, you know, whatever. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But as a celebrity, who knows who's tracking you right now? And who knows what they're going to throw on you? And now I really want to see a picture of something because what the hell could you have thrown?
Right.
Why Lindsey Buckingham?
Right.
Who knows why people stalk anybody?
Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon.
No rhyme or reason. Yeah, it could be anything. I don't want to speculate on what was thrown on him. All right.
He's okay.
He's okay. That's the bottom line. Number two.
NFL star checks into rehab.
Swipe.
I only want to hear because you guys used his name about 7,000 times yesterday. I can't remember if it was on air or off the air. I'm going to stay.
Parker?
I don't think that we've talked about him on the show previously, so I'm going to swipe.
Okay. Wow, Parker swiped. I'm shocked. Yeah, popular voice actor involved in a fiery car accident.
Ooh.
It was not me.
I'll stay.
Voice actor.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, why not? I'll stay.
Bob's Burgers star Eugene Merman is facing serious injuries after being involved in a fiery car crash in New Hampshire. So
he plays the son.
Yeah, he plays Gene on Bob's Burgers. Gene. If you haven't watched the show,
it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
It's really good.
Yeah.
A rep for Merman said Eugene was in a very scary car accident. He wants to thank the bystanders, state police, first responders, and hospital staff who saved him. He is grateful to be on the mend. At this time, we kindly ask for privacy for Eugene and his family as he focuses on recovering from his injuries. This was a one-car crash, so nobody else was involved in it, but
very scary.
Very scary situation.
Huh.
Not a name you think to pop up.
No,
because
Tiger Woods, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods, that guy loves to flip a car.
Speaking of Tiger Woods, this is a bonus. Tiger Woods apparently left the country to go to a treatment facility.
He left the country for that?
Yes.
Wow.
Probably privacy would be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably, good
point. Next story.
Academy Award-winning role sparks a prequel movie.
What?
I'll stay.
Yeah, I'll stay.
That was a hard one.
Did anybody see the movie Weapons?
No.
Yes.
Weapons is getting a prequel.
So about Amy Madigan's character?
Yes.
Okay.
So after Amy Madigan took home an Oscar for her role as Aunt Gladys...
Interesting.
In the horror movie Weapons, it looks like it'll be full steam ahead for a prequel movie. Gladys is the working title for the prequel, and just added Godzilla writer Zach Shields to the project.
Wow. Oh, I thought you were going to say they just added Godzilla.
Verse and Gladys. Wow. It's going to be wild. It's just going to be a bunch of children running at a giant dinosaur monster.
This sounds great.
How many kids would it take to defeat
Parker, how many kids?
Oh, that's a good, I like that. How many kids to defeat Godzilla?
It's a lot of kids. It's going to be a lot of kids. Yeah.
I think billions for
not
the
those weaponized kids.
Yeah. They don't have any they've got no weapons. They have nothing.
They're
they
kids.
Are the weapon.
I was going to say they could pull your hair, kick your shins. It's fine. They've got this.
Is there any chance Godzilla has a soft spot for kids, though, and would just give up?
No.
No, I think their only shot is they do the 6-7 thing enough to annoy Godzilla to where he runs away.
Yeah. Well, plus they're low. They get in under Godzilla's line of vision.
Right, low center of gravity wins, right?
Yeah.
They're
groin shots.
They're stealthy. They're stealthy too, and you never know where they're going to be. Yeah, so there's that too.
You really got to watch out for those kids.
You got to watch out for kids all the time, Frank. That's what I
said. As of right now, one last thing. As of right now, Amy Madigan is not 100% confirmed to return, but more likely than not, I'd put it at 90% she will be back.
Well, if it's a prequel, Amy Madigan's,
We just can't confirm that she's doing it yet, or if they're going to have somebody younger.
Younger,
don't
know.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
But that's Swiper's day.
I liked
Thank
it.
You.
Very
Thank
nice.
You.
Very nice. Do you have student debt? Were you using the save plan? Guess what?
Yes.
You're screwed. We'll talk to the executive director of the Wisconsin Coalition of Student Debt after this. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
Local voices and statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. You're listening to Daybreak. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. If you're leaving the house today, be wary of the weather. It's cold and rainy, and there's ice storms up north. So just take a quick look or listen to the radio. We just told you it's bad outside.
Yeah.
There you go.
Really raining in Madison right now.
Make your decisions appropriately. Well, in more... Very, horrible news. More student loan borrowers are falling behind on payments than ever before. The Biden-era student loan program, the SAVE plan, was canceled by this administration, leaving borrowers in Wisconsin and across the country wondering how they should proceed. Carol Trone is the executive director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt and president of College Goal Wisconsin. She joins us now to help clarify things. Carol, thanks for being here. I know a lot of people have questions, including our own senior producer, Frank, who is going to do this. But could you, before we get started, can you give us a quick history on the SAVE plan?
Sure, yeah. So I'll make it quick. So the SAVE plan was introduced by, regulation, and that's an important point. So it was introduced about 3 years ago, August 2023. So it was the most borrower-friendly repayment plan ever. And the reason why was because of the forgiveness provisions, and maybe more importantly for borrowers and their day-to-day lives, the calculation for what you owed was extremely generous. So it was basically a smaller percentage of discretionary income. The calculation for that meant that essentially borrowers were paying much less than they needed to. However, that was short-lived, and so a lot of borrowers got the word that this was a really great plan to be in. And even today, there's, I think, about 7.5 million borrowers nationwide who are in SAVE. In July of 2024, the Eighth Circuit Court, Missouri, they and some other Republican-led states sued and said that this was a overstretch. And that litigation paused the plan. So anyone who was in that plan was put into what was called administrative forbearance. So basically it was, hey, we need to figure this out. Now, remember, Biden was still president at that point. So there was an appeal. And so borrowers didn't have to pay anything. But basically, they were in limbo. In August 2025, we've got a different administration. It's Trump now. And the courts are still battling it back and forth, whether this plan is legal or not. But in August of last year, there's now interest accruing. And so up to that point, people were just, you know, status quo. August, your loan is growing. And so there continued to be some back and forth and appeals. And then in this month, or actually in December, there was a proposal to say we're ending the SAVE plan. Curveball earlier in March, where the final court ruling, they said we can't rule on this. And then 3 days later, there was a final court, basically courts battling each other. There was a final court ruling, Eighth Circuit Court, SAVE plan is illegal. So administration moved pretty quickly after that and made that announcement last Friday, said you're going to start to see letters, and now there's a timeline. So I can, you know, let me know if you want me to go on that timeline.
No, this is, well, that brings us to the letters, and that brings us to Frank. Yeah. Frank, you have student loans, and you got one of these letters. So what?
Lucky me.
Yeah, it sounds great. So I know you have some questions for Carol. So
yeah, so
take over. I'm going to sip my coffee.
Yeah, go for it. So for the people that didn't get a letter, basically in bold, it says the SAVE plan is ended, but you have options. This is from the U.S. Department of Education. So Carol, as somebody who has student loans and got this letter, I guess my big question, and I think everybody's question right now, is how screwed are we? What are our options moving forward?
Well, with that letter, you could say, and with the court decision, all of this is real. To be honest, as soon as there was that initial court challenge, things weren't looking great for SAVE borrowers or for the plan. And it goes back to, again, so it's a loan plan that came through an administrative initiative. It wasn't put into law. So, you know, public service loan forgiveness, that was passed by Congress. And so that's on much more stable ground. This SAVE plan was an initiative, of the Biden administration. So basically, I would say, I mean, you got that letter. Things are getting real now. But honestly, for those of us watching this closely, it looked like the SAVE plan was going to be gone for some time. And so what this means is, I would love to go into the options, for your listeners of what they should do at this point.
Yes, please.
So any of your borrowers so if we're talking to listeners who are here in Wisconsin, there's an estimated 135,000 borrowers in Wisconsin who are still in the SAVE plan, like you, Frank. Mm-hmm. So, you're getting this letter. Think about it as kind of a soft launch. And so you're getting the letter. And the reason for that is essentially the replacement plan is called the RAP plan, Repayment Right. Assistance Plan. That isn't going to be available until July 1. So there's this window of time where you or anyone who's getting this letter, anyone who's SAVE, can just you can wait. But come July 1, you're going to get another notice, and they're sending them in waves, is what they've said. And from when you get that notice around July, you've got 90 days. And if you don't do anything in that 90 days, they're going to automatically put you in the standard repayment plan. So Here's what listeners need to think about is, the writing's on the wall, SAVE is gone. So if you are a public service worker, I would strongly encourage you to look at And there's a loan simulator tool on the Federal Student Aid website, which is really good. It's really detailed. You can play out different scenarios. But if you're a public service worker, if you're a teacher, you work for government, you work in a hospital, any of those kinds of eligible, you know, employers, right now you are making zero progress if you're in SAVE towards your public service loan forgiveness. So you're going to want to see that. So there's some existing other income-driven repayment plans. You want to look at those. And because in some cases, those are going to be better if you switch out of SAVE into those plans, because they're still available now. After July 1, they're not. Okay. So look at those other plans, use that simulator tool, and see where, you know, if your goal is lowest payment, if your goal is, paying it off in the quickest amount, it'll give you the scenarios. It'll tell you what your monthly payment is. It'll plug in, you know, according to your family size, number of dependents, your income, so forth. So act on that, that simulation now, because you may want to move before July when you have, far fewer options for moving.
We're talking.
Carol Trone is our guest. She's executive director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt and president of College Goal Wisconsin. DebtSmarts.org is the website where you can go and figure this out. Jamie, go ahead. I know you had a question.
No. I was just going to say, as we're listening to the process play out, you know, obviously there's already backlogs, there's already delays, people have already been kind of through the system. So what happens, Carol, if someone applies for one of these new plans, but their application is still pending when this deadline hits? How are they going to be affected?
Yeah, that's a good question. So reports that I've heard from borrowers and others is that switching into one of the other IDR plans, income-driven repayment plans, hasn't been held up as long as those who are applying for forgiveness. So you can expect a couple weeks, maybe. And you know, if you don't get that process by July 1, I think that the takeaway on this is don't wait till June 29th to do this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, play with that calculator now, make that move. Reports are that it's 2 to 3 weeks. But you're right. I mean, the Department of Education staff has been cut by over 40% in the past year. And it's definitely having an effect on how quickly things are getting processed. And so, you know, if you're one of those who's applying for forgiveness, there has been a long wait for getting that processed.
How many people are we talking about in Wisconsin, and how much money is involved just in this state?
Well, so, I mean, big picture is Wisconsin has about 730,000 borrowers, you know, in all kind of levels of repayment. And remember, that's, you know, that's both recent graduates and that's parents who have helped their kids get through this. And actually those parents are facing some of these challenges as well. Those people in SAVE, it's about 135,000 of that 735,000.
Wow.
So, in your opinion, being the expert here, what does a sudden change like this do to people's trust in the student loan system? Does this impact how people look at higher education going forward? If there's not a lot of help for these repayment plans since education is already so expensive?
I think there's been a growing awareness where, you know, people, they're, you know, whatever, they're seeing the headlines, they're talking to friends, they're seeing their own situations, and they're seeing that, you know, this student loan debt is catching up with people. I will say that if you know, this sounds trite, but, you know, there are ways to make your education affordable. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hoping is that, you know, people use our organization, for instance, they plan out and don't just go for the dream school if it's going to have a big price tag, because that may not pay off for you. And, you know, you want to keep your debt as low as possible. But, you know, we are seeing people rethink things.
What's the biggest mistake that you at the College Goal Wisconsin? What's the biggest mistake you see applicants making or young people and families making? We only got about a minute left.
Yeah. So just a quick. So College Goal Wisconsin, our sole goal is to help people file the FAFSA. So best thing there is. Yeah. So fill, you know, again, minimize your debt, fill that FAFSA out. It keeps your options. I'll just put a big plug here. The biggest mistake, Brian, is that not enough people do it. So in Wisconsin, you know, we've got most high school graduates haven't even filled it out. And that's the case every year.
Wow.
Fill it out. It's much easier this year. It is not the painful thing it used to be.
Well, that's good. Anything would have been an improvement over the old system. Carol Trone is the executive director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt and president of College Goal Wisconsin. DebtSmarts.org is the website. Carol, thanks for your time this morning. Have a great rest of the week and a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, we got to wrap things up here, but we'll do that.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hopefully you're having a great start to your Thursday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And thanks to Carol. That is vital information.
Yes.
Now, I know you guys wrote it. My pen, I didn't get the whole. She said she forgot to give a helpline. This helpline is manned 40 hours a week, so you can call. It's not your lender. They will help you with questions. And Jamie, I know you wrote it down.
Yes.
833-something.
589-0757. 833-589-0757. That is the number that you should call for DebtSmarts.org if you want more information on how to navigate your student loans since, well, the SAVE Act has officially been disappeared, we'll
killed.
Call it.
It's killed.
Yeah, disappeared, dead.
If you're thinking, oh man, I could have used that information, have no fear.
Yeah.
Go to civicmedia.us, click on the show tab, and later today, or at least by tomorrow at least, that interview will be up there with Carol, and you can go check that out. Check out all our pods and all the things there at civicmedia.us. Because if you are like our own Frank and got this letter, and there's words in there that you don't understand because you're not an accountant or you're not some sort of financial guru.
Or it just makes you nervous.
Or you
don't want to screw it up. It's the federal government. You don't want to screw things up, right?
No, they're doing a fine enough job on
their
own. We don't need to help them with screwing things up. But the state government is not above reproach,
no.
Jamie. There's always infighting. There's always things going on. We do always like to talk about Josh Call joining lawsuits against the administration. Well, this time, the Republicans were looking into him.
Yeah.
That's right. A Republican-led committee report suggests that Wisconsin's DOJ overstepped its authority by using fellows funded by an outside environmental group. Now, this is a little bit confusing, but the attorney general defends the practice, stating it did not violate state law and was necessary for environmental enforcement. So, a little background, the committee was looking into the fact that the DOJ, and this is coming from reporting in the Journal Sentinel, the DOJ had hired Karen Heineman as a special assistant attorney general on environmental litigation. That came with $90,000 a year. Man, I picked the wrong field to go into. It was funded by New York University's State Energy and Environmental Impact Center. Now, there were other fellows just like Karen who were appointed in a dozen other states.
Yeah.
Now, conservatives, of course, pushed back on those, and they said, well, the fellowship has ended. One of the people who came to the DOJ through the program is now employed by the agency as an assistant attorney general, according to Josh Call. And the report says that because the fellows were brought on board from an outside organization and not interviewed and hired as employees of the state, they may have brought external influences into the agency. They also cite issues with how the oath of office was not administered immediately, and that a Wisconsin Ethics Commission has not responded to a complaint after 412 days. Jamie, it seems like much ado about nothing, but why not?
Well,
this is Wisconsin politics at its best.
It's good that they have something to focus on because it's not like property taxes are an issue or we have elections coming up or the governor wants special sessions on gerrymandering.
What are they doing?
Well, that's just it. I mean, if you're going to actually do something, let's focus on real issues that are going to actually help Wisconsin. Because let's be realistic, this GOP has brought these sorts of lawsuits before. And usually they're thrown out with some sort of meritless base, you know, and I mean, Josh Call's doing his job. He's trying to protect the state from several federal policies. Notice that earlier in this morning, we talked about Josh Call entering Wisconsin into another federal lawsuit on environmental protection. Mm-hmm. And this just happens to be an attorney who specializes in environmental protection. I don't know. Coincidence. Call me crazy. But
you're crazy.
This is what your attorney generals do. They find specialists to make sure that the best interests of the state are being handled properly, to make sure that there is some merit to what he wants to do as attorney general. This is not nefarious. This is not weird. The Ethics Commission has told you after 420 days that there might not be a violation there. What are we doing?
Well, Call said, I'm proud to be on the side of the best interests of our natural resources and the people of the state, and that the fellows involved in this were, that was all aimed at the safety of the residents and the environment. So it doesn't seem like there's anything here. Again, it's just another way of by the Republicans in the assembly to just try to shame a Democratic official.
Of course. And they do it constantly.
And make it look like they're being sneaky and covering things up and circumventing the proper channels.
They've done this time and time again to this attorney general since he's been appointed to office with Tony Evers. I mean, and let's be realistic. This goes back to something we talked about earlier this morning when we were talking about that lawsuit with several states, Wisconsin included, against the EPA, Lee Zeldin. What do the GOP have against the environment? I'm trying to figure this out because, again, I get that this is about one attorney, but I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that Josh Call has brought in other attorneys in the same vein as he's pursued some of these lawsuits. So what is it that that the GOP has against
I think they would tell you we're not against the environment. We love the environment. What we're against is over regulations that hamper business practices because businesses make money. Mm. Money goes to fund campaigns. Lobbyists sweeten the deal for legislators.
So big corporations.
It all goes back. We love clean air and clean water, Jimmy. You know what we love more?
Money.
Money. Power. We love a lot of things. I can't make money by going out and breathing. I have to make money the old-fashioned way, by grifting.
Well, it turns out that there are several businesses in this state, little ones too, that happen to make their money because of the environment. So I guess, I don't know, I care about them too. It's 7:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. More headlines for Moran and stuff you need to know coming up after this. This is The Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.